Well, the Democratic Party is usually looked at as the environmentally friendly political faction. You know, in history, that always wasn't the case, actually. That's a recent realignment of things.
You know, kind of when it came to pass that the Republicans were visioned as the land rapers, exploiters. I mean, you said it was a recent thing. When did it turn? During the Eisenhower years? During the Nixon years? Reagan? What era?
That's a good question. We'll ask in a moment our guest. There are a number of Republicans that are active environmental awareness. Our President Bush is claiming to be one of them. Martha Marks is the president of REP, the Republicans for Environmental Protection. They're called the Green Elephants. We wanted to find out from Martha what she thinks about President Bush's first 100 days, because he's come under a bunch of criticism, also what she thinks he ought to do to make the Republican Party as green as it can be. Martha, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm glad I'm not in your time zone. Much easier for me.
Are you in the East Coast?
I'm in Central Chicago.
Central Chicago, mm-hmm. A town that needs environmental help?
Not as much as it used to.
Okay, good. And you are a Republican for a green planet.
Right.
Do a lot of people not believe you?
Well, it's been called an oxymoron, but it's not, because as you said in your intro, Republicans used to be the ones who were the best on the environment. It was the Republican Party and Republican leaders who actually invented environmental protection legislation and efforts in this country. And it was very often the Democrats who were very responsive to labor that were not as good in the first half of the century. Almost all the environmental leadership came from Republicans.
What happened to turn at least the spin of how the parties are portrayed?
Two words. Ronald Reagan.
It was Ronnie. That's who did it, huh?
Yes, I do believe it was Ronnie. And of course, he came out of the Western mentality, which is that, you know...
land was for raping.
Yeah, and, you know, I have, that's been discussed a lot, but I do believe that there's a situation where there's so much public land, there's so much open space, and there's still been relatively clean air in most places that people don't appreciate it. The places where you have the most fervent concern for the environment tends to be in places that have lost that, in New Jersey and the Northeast.
And all Reagan saw were, you know, old growth redwoods. Ooh, look, Mommy, there's plenty of trees. There's, ooh, pudding.
Right. We need a new dining room table.
Pudding.
That's right. Well, yeah, he was the one who said that trees cause pollution, and that was the CO2 that he was talking about. Now President Bush says it's not a pollutant, so we don't have to regulate it.
What about arsenic in the drinking water? I'm sure you're getting asked about that a lot.
Totally inexplicable decision to me. Inexplicable. I think they have to be tone deaf to have done that. Of all the things to pick, the thing that people understand, you know, it's real hard to understand global warming and carbon dioxide. It's hard to understand a lot of things, but arsenic hits a pretty gut level reaction with most people. And as we've said in our newsletter, how much arsenic do you want your kids to drink?
So you totally oppose the fact that they knocked out. See, I thought it was political. I thought that in the last few days, while Clinton was, you know, pardoning drug dealers, stealing all the furniture he can, he was also trying to take all the credit he could for environmental initiatives that weren't thought through. For example, this one was not going to take effect until 2006.
Right. I don't deny that they were doing a lot of things at the last minute, and I think it would have been a lot better for Clinton's legacy had he done those earlier. But I don't accept the fact that these were done at the last minute with no scientific review and no public input. Now, the arsenic didn't get as much public review, for example, as the roadless issue did. But a lot of things that the Bush administration has claimed were done at the last minute without public input and without scientific review were, in fact, well-reviewed and well-studied. I think Tim Russert on Sunday morning on Meet the Press had Christy Whitman on, and supposedly, I didn't see it, but somebody told me that he pulled out a whole big fat stack of documentation on studies of the arsenic situation and basically refuted very clearly her argument.
Yeah, he actually cornered her.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I didn't see it.
I saw it. Oh, it was brutal.
2 weeks ago, he did the same thing with Congressman Tom DeLay of Texas, and one of his ways of refuting him or putting him in a corner was to quote me. And they said that Tom DeLay had literally no answer. I'm doing other things on Sunday morning, so I don't watch that program. But
Martha, you got to watch.
I guess I do.
You're a mover and a shaker.
I guess so.
And on that same program, I understand she said that they will not be drilling into the polar ice cap. Mm-hmm. But then hours later, a statement comes out of the White House that says she's got it all wrong.
Yeah, well, if I were Christy Whitman, I think I would be seriously looking for another job right now.
Geez, I love this lady. I'm almost ready
too.
No, I'm talking about you. I mean, I was going to argue with you about Ronald Reagan, how bad he was. You freely admit that.
I beat you to it.
The arsenic thing, you freely admit that's a Bush screw-up.
Well, we are Republicans for environmental protection.
And you sincerely are.
We don't make excuses for our party. We try to get them to do the right thing. We want them to be good on the environment. Our little motto is that we're out to green up the GOP.
So you're the only Republicans for environmental protection.
Yeah, but there are a lot of us.
That's what I'm starting to get here.
We're the only environmental organization made up solely of Republicans, but
Do you get the worst table at events? You go to a big banquet at the White House, and you guys are in the hallway at the Katie table?
We don't get invited.
See, now, she's striking me as a bit of a double agent. We're Democrats posing as Republicans for the environment.
No, I'm a Republican elected official. I'm a county commissioner in Lake County, Illinois. Our members include the Lieutenant Governor of Illinois, 3 Republican congressmen, a former governor of New Mexico. We have state senators, state representatives all around the country. And we're credible Republicans. If you take a look at our website or take a look at our newsletter, you'll see that there's a very Republican slant to what we do.
Well, of course, you don't have to pass any test to be a Republican. You can be a Republican by saying, I'm a Republican.
I live in a state where you don't register as a party.
Right.
You are only identified by which
double agent.
You are only identified by which I'm trying to say primary ballot you take.
But
I've been elected. Let me tell you about myself. I've been elected 3 times as a Republican, avowed environmentalist, in an overwhelmingly Republican area. I've never gotten less than 70% of the primary vote.
Good for you.
Republican constituents, they don't seem to have a problem with me. And I think a lot of Republicans wish that their party would be a lot better on the environment. That's why we're growing so fast.
Do you know George W. at all? You know him personally?
No.
Do you know anyone in the administration, upper levels?
Not at the upper levels. I know some people. Some of our members were on his advisory team during the campaign.
Do you believe that they are pro-environment?
In their heart and souls, no. I don't believe that. I think they will try to do what they have to do to not look anti-environmental. But we spent a year and a half studying George W.'s record in Texas and his pronouncements on the campaign trail, and it was pretty grim. he really has not got a record of doing anything very positive for the environment in Texas. And if you look at what he does, what he talks about, you never hear him talking about going and hiking in any natural area.
He has his own ranch. He'd hike right there.
New.
You could walk right out the back
that's
door.
Brand new.
He's a treadmill guy.
He likes to get his exercise on the treadmill. Now, I think they will try to do the right thing as they see it. I think they are beginning to realize, and this is a key point. I don't think they realized before how much the American people want environmental protection of our environment and natural resources. I think they're beginning to get that now. And I do say I think it was unfortunate.
I think the American people are beginning to get it. I think the American people have been asleep for a while because we had a Democratic president. I think they've been assuming everything's fine,
good,
the majority
right.
of them.
You're right.
Oh, it's good now. Clinton's in there. Yeah,
sure.
It's fine. And I think that in some ways Bush has the opportunity to be the best environmental president ever, because there's a dialogue about it. As a member of the media, 4 or 5 years ago, I actually talked to a network about it, this song we wanted to do about the ozone layer,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, well, can't you do something about sex instead, because no one cares about
now.
It. Yeah.
Well, I you're right. I think your argument is, I think, that he's going to turn out to be better for the environment than even he may wish to be. And I would
necessarily...
it's like saying Gacy was good for child care because he brought so much attention
right.
to the issue.
But I don't see it that way, Martha. I think actually you're a bit of a double agent.
I'm not a double agent.
You're attacking the Republican Party from an ideology.
She's just keeping them in line.
Keeping them straight. You know what we do in our newsletter, and we do it in our website?
Uh-huh.
We praise them when they're good, and we tell it like it is when they're good.
And I think that's wonderful. It's free speech. It's great. I'm not putting you down in any way, but I also believe that these guys are long-term thinkers. And I believe that if you are a long-term thinker, you do think about the environment, but you also have to think about the needs of society and people. We need more efficient and greater power in terms of energy. We need more. The answer to things isn't to turn your thermostat down or, you know,
carpool.
I mean, carpooling helps. The thing I love is recycling. That's great. But certain other things where we just say, well, if you all just deny yourself a little, the problem will go away. That just doesn't work.
Well, can I get a word in on that? Talking about energy?
Martha, you're the guest. Go ahead.
Thank you. He seems to have one approach to energy, and that's that we've got to find more oil, and we've got to find more gas.
Well,
let me finish,
yeah.
Okay? We, in this country, we only possess 2.8% of the world's proven oil reserves. 2.8% is all we have. If we drilled in every wildlife refuge and off every one of our coastlines and in all of our protected areas, we would still only maximum come up with 2.8% of the world's proven oil reserves. And yet every year in this country, we consume 25% of the world's oil production, total production.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no way that we can drill our way into energy independence.
I agree completely.
What we need to see from this administration is a greater emphasis on renewable energy, new technologies, alternative energy sources. And yet the Bush administration just slashed budget funding for research on solar development, for example, by 50%. His mentality is get out the oil. Trent Lott, our beloved majority leader in the Senate, was quoted, and I've got the quote here, in Roll Call magazine last month as saying, the American people have a right to drive a great big road hog SUV if they want to, and I'm going to get me one.
I love that too, actually.
We have that right. We have a right, but is that the way that we want to live our lives?
No, but I must tell you how much alternative energy is being developed by private enterprise.
Where is it?
I know.
Better start coming on because
where
the Bush administration doesn't seem to know it's there.
Well, wait a minute. How much was developed during the Clinton administration?
I don't know.
How much was developed during the Carter administration?
Nobody.
You're
has.
Clearly anti-Republican, even though you're in there.
No,
I understand.
Not anti-Republican.
Oh, it's pretty obvious.
Well, that's your
just because she's a good thinking Republican, and I got to tell you, Martha,
well, that's what you call a Democrat.
Well, there's plenty of room in our party for people like you. I'll tell you.
Yeah, why don't you go where you're welcome?
Well, this is part of the problem our party has is that they're not willing to accept anybody who doesn't think the party line, and that's true not just on the environment, but a lot of other things. The supposed big tent needs to be a whole lot bigger.
Yeah, but see, what you're doing is you're spinning it to be George Bush's fault. He's been in 100 days. And Democrats were in for 8 years. Were you attacking President Clinton during those 8 years?
We were trying to improve our party. We don't go on the attack on anybody.
Well, hold on. If what you care about is the environment, it shouldn't matter.
Well, we only got started in the last 4 or 5 years. We haven't been around for decades. Please understand.
All right, Martha.
We started in 1995 as a response to the Newt Gingrich revolution, which we were proud to see. Most of our members voted for their congressmen to go in and vote with the majority. But we also didn't like the fact that they were attempting to roll back some of the bedrock fundamental environmental protection laws that the people of this country thought were in place and were taken for granted. And we have just simply shifted our attention from the Congress to now an administration, and yes, it's Republican. But we don't worry about the Democrats. There are a lot of environmental groups out there that are going to take care of them. They'll keep Al Gore, and they'll keep...
I don't know. They seem to be ignored.
Well, hey, they do.
Martha,
we're doing a different... We have a different...
Sure, I understood. It's your focus.
Okay. Hey, Martha, you said Christy Todd Whitman's got a short time to go. Are you guys going to lobby for somebody who's more environmentally friendly?
Well,
do you have a replacement in mind?
We are actually very positive on Christy Whitman. I didn't say she should go. I said that if I were her, I'd be looking elsewhere. Because
okay.
If I were in a position of authority and responsibility where I was the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, and I'm sure that maybe not the first time with the CO2, although I understand they did give her the green light on that position too, but if I were her and had been given, as I understand, the green light to talk about Alaska, the Alaska Refuge, and they pulled the rug out from her twice, first, once could be a mistake. Second time, I don't think, was an accident. It just looks to me like they are setting her up.
Martha Marks.
I would be inclined to want to run.
The president of Rep America, the Green Elephants, Riverwoods, Illinois.
www.rep.org.
All right. Thanks a lot, Martha.
Thank you.
All right. You know I appreciate her voice. I like everybody's voice. She ain't no Republican.
She's the president of a Republican organization.
Now I know how she got by Mike. Why he booked it.
Got by me?
Well, I said, get us some reinforcements to argue the Republican side. And
you said, get you the head asked, of the green elephants.
Well,
there.
I read about them, and I thought that's what they were.
You didn't read much about them.
I didn't read enough.
First paragraph, I'm done. Get her on.
This sounds like the real McCoy.
Well, you know,
she's clearly a spy. She's a terrorist within the Republican organization.
If she supports Christy Whitman, she must be a Democrat because that lady is looking terrible.
Right. And by the way, I love her. I give her all the credit in the world. I think the debate and the attack and the whole thing is what needs to happen, and that's why I think we're in for a good time.
Do you know how Christy Whitman got her job, by the way, as head of the EPA? She gave Laura Bush a puppy. During the last days of the campaign, Christy Whitman was with the Bush family, and she had a new litter of Scotty dogs. And Laura Bush, oh, that's so cute. Well, here, have one. Cabinet post.
It's Bob, Spike, and Joe.
If you just tuned in, you missed the interview with the green elephant, Martha Marks. Is she the lead person?
She's the head.
She's the president. The president of Republicans for Environmental Protection. Turns out, she's just a double agent. She's a Democrat in Republican clothing. She's a spy.
She's an elected Republican official.
That's fine, Joe. You want to know something? Maura, are you there? To make the Republican Party as green as it can be. Martha,
what are you doing?
You chopping my audio up to make me say something different?
Oh, sorry about that. Apologize.
Martha was clearly a Democrat. She is a Republican technically, but I'll tell you something, Joe. I could become a Democrat senator if I wanted to.
Not talking the way you talk, see?
Well, no, hold on just a second. I could get elected as a Democrat easily. What are you saying? Democrats wouldn't allow dissension? Hold on a second. Not talking the way I talk? You mean you wouldn't allow me in your party?
Oh, we'd allow
you. Wouldn't allow me
you.
To disagree with you?
All are welcome under
okay.
the...
Okay, well, all right, shut up.
He's saying you wouldn't get elected. Well, if you go up to Capitol Hill, sure.
Now, here's the trick to getting elected, Joe. Getting elected does not mean beating a worthy opponent because you're smarter or because you're better.
Clearly, the presidential race proved that.
Yes. Wait a minute. Actually, it wasn't a worthy opponent, so you're right. Getting elected means picking a race where you have a weak opponent and you can win. In that regard, I could become a Democratic elected official. Anybody could become an elected official of any party they wanted if they had even some political skills.
You'd have to just say the right things during the campaign, right?
No. You don't even have to necessarily toe the party line to get elected. If you're against a weak opponent, and if you pick the right race and the right area to be in, you can get elected irregardless.
Mm-hmm. You could be mayor of D.C. as long as you don't smoke crack, right?
I think you have to smoke crack.
Oh, okay.
That's a requirement.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a perfect example.
It's such a dance you guys have to do to get
well,
elected.
And that's what it is. That's what politics is a dance. And so she's positioned herself. She's not backing. See, what I wanted, and we'll still go out and get somehow, I wanted someone to defend and explain the administration's policies to environmentalists, because that's really what we want to hear. Yeah, I mean, to oppose them, that's easy. She used all the same arguments as the opponents, which makes her an opponent.
Well, it would have been interesting to know what other Republican ideas she adheres to.
There were none. There was nothing in that woman's talk at all that was at all Republican. Nothing.
Yeah, she just called a spade. If she didn't like something, she said so. I mean,
but that's not... No, Joe, she took all the political positions
that sensible people take.
Of the left.
But
we didn't cover issues which is
about
what you believe
family
is sensible. I grant
or taxes.
You that.
Right. We didn't cover any of the other issues. Bob.
Look, Maura,
yes.
You heard her.
Yes,
I want
did.
You to give me your honest opinion.
I love her.
All right, no, I want you to give me your honest opinion on this question.
Okay.
Did she vote for Debbie or that?
I believe she did, yeah.
I don't think she would be a hypocrite if she voted for W.
Well, I think it would have been interesting to know what she thought about the tax break that he wants to give everybody and about the family issues and about all the other things that we didn't really talk about.
Well, we were out of time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. It wasn't a good time to do that, but it would be interesting to know what...
But if Gore was clearly the green candidate in the last election, which is how they played it, then as a Republican for environmental protection, she couldn't have voted for G-Dub. Bob's right. It would have been totally against
her. She would have been destroying her own core issue.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's the only... By the way, she was great. That's the only place I nailed her was in the, you are really only talking against Republicans. And where were you the last 8 years? Oh, well, I hadn't got it together. Well... We only want to talk about Republicans, she said. We'll leave the Democrats to themselves. Well, if you care about the environment rather than politics, then you will care about the environment wherever it is there to care about. She's clearly just political.
Sounds to me like she wants to save her party.
from
ruination.
From what?
From
winning?
Ruination, brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters. Mike Jones, our air-hugging producer.
Well, that's like saying that if you like to rescue stray dogs, that... But what about that lion eating the gazelle in Africa? Don't you care about that?
No, she doesn't have to move to Africa. I never said she had to move to Africa.
But you have to focus on... Your organization has to focus.
If you're focused on... The, then that was... All right, you just made my point for me. Is she focused on the environment... Or is she focused on tearing down Republicans? Clearly, the latter.
There is no way she could get elected if she was focused on tearing down Republicans as a Republican.
I'm sorry, she is and she was.
She was voted with 70% of the vote?
Yeah, she's massively popular.
I don't think she could come on a show like this, Bob, and pose as a Republican if she was,
She's getting quoted on Meet the Press.
Look at me. I'm like a gazelle trapped in the corner by five big saber-toothed tigers. But I'm glad you all had fun.
But this, you're right, Bob. President Bush is going to be good for the environment.
And I also think we still need someone who's pro-administration, someone who says, now, hold on a second, because the administration is saying, we're getting a bum spin. Well, I want someone from that point of view to come on and tell us why it's a bum spin and how we're all the things we're doing.
I'd love to hear how you can cut half the developmental budget for energy still say you're good for the environment.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that because I've never heard a Republican person say, I believe we should cut half, and here's why.
They did. I'd like to know why they thought it was a good
idea.
You're believing that
depiction of it.
Well, that's in the budget.
When you cut half of it, there's no way to just spin it.
First they said Republicans want more arsenic in the drinking water, and then it turns out they didn't want more arsenic in the drinking water. They were going against a regulation that wasn't supposed to take effect until 2006 because they wanted to study it more.
Like she said,
so the story behind the story is always bigger than the soundbite.
That's what I want to hear. You're right.
So where's James Watt when we need him? That's who you want. You want a guy like James Watt to come on here and...
He's just finished pulling the last stump out of the land he bought when he left office.
Yeah.
I think he's got that completely clear cut now.
Hey, Mike, do we have a Davenport man?
I thought the lady was great, though, and I thought what she said about the arsenic thing is, you got to admit, take a stand on something people don't understand. The ozone layer, global warming.
Yeah.
People
that's
don't know
over my
about
head.
That.
She was very well spoken, Joe.
You say arsenic in water and people's alarms go off. Yeah. They really should have picked something else to focus on.
Excellent. And I notice you're still looking backward at that.
Well, the ozone mystery is just a mystery to us. In a lot of other countries around the world, they've figured out how dangerous of a spot we're in. Australia, for example, has very little ozone left. 7 times the number of skin cancer cases on Australia.
Mm.
Little kids here sing the Pledge of Allegiance. Little kids in Australia, when they go to school in the first and second grade, sing the Sunshine Song about how you're supposed to put a big hat on and slather on the sunscreen.
Do they really?
I swear. Because this 7 times the amount of skin cancer cases on Australian kids and young adults.
Is that
in
the brochure?
No, they leave that out.
Come visit
beautiful Australia.
Wear a big hat.
Wear a big-ass hat. Wrestle alligators while you develop melanomas all about your face and arms.
There is good news today from the banks of the Mid and Mississippi River. The water has stopped rising, and most cities in that area have seen the crest. And the Weather Service says it will begin to decline as possibly as soon as this afternoon. It's been a rough couple of weeks for residents there, obviously, and we were going to get President and CEO of the Davenport One Chamber of Commerce to talk with us this morning.
I think he might be there. Is he there? Oh, Mike is on hold.
Mike is on hold. Okay, right. Dan Huber is the man that we're going to talk to.
Yeah, let's just bring him up. We're on hold in Davenport, Iowa.
And all I know, it's going to be a arsenal.
Hello, this is Kendra.
Hi, Kendra.
Hi. This is Maura. I spoke to you yesterday about having Dan on with us this morning.
We did. Didn't he not call you?
Kendra.
Kendra.
I am so sorry.
Can you talk to us?
Could we have somebody else talk to you real
quick? Kendra, can we just say hi to you quickly?
Sure.
All right. This is Bob.
And I'm Joe. Kendra, how you doing?
Hi, Kendra. I'm Spike. When is Hall & Oates coming? Because that sounds like I'm going to Davenport just for that alone.
When is coming?
It was on the music on hold that some radio station was talking about Hall & Oates.
I don't know when they're coming.
Well, they're playing in Davenport. Are they going to have a place to play?
A lot of our concerts have been rescheduled, canceled to be rescheduled.
Oh, man. How about that baseball field?
It's totally underwater.
I saw the helicopter shot.
Yes.
That's normally dry, huh?
Yes, and they had sandbagged around it and tried to protect it, but the wall fell, and we had water coming from the ground up, too. So, lost it.
Wow.
Have you been out there sandbagging, Kendra?
No, not yet. I've just been watching them.
Kendra,
we have a lot of great volunteers helping.
Kendra, by the way, is nice enough to say hi to us. We were going to talk with her boss, Dan Huber, of the... I guess you were the Chamber of Commerce, right?
Right. And Dan is right now on a bus tour of the flood damage. He's got 25 people from the city, and they're taking a bus tour of looking at all the damage.
Right. I got to ask you, how is Dan as a boss? I mean, he's out of the room, so you can be honest. As a boss to work for?
He's great.
He's great.
Yes.
What does something like this do to that, though? I mean, he must be under a lot of strain.
Yes, because you're in the public eye, and people call with some very strange questions, and then a lot of legitimate questions, too.
Right. What do you think is the most legitimate question people are asking? Like, why should I live in Davenport?
why isn't there a flood wall?
Right.
But, you know, what people don't realize is that they've had a lot of flood, they have a flood program in place, and they have for years. And they don't really feel they need the wall at this time.
When you say flood program, are you referring to some rafts or some canoes? Or what is the flood program?
Big shovel, get the mud out?
You know, I'm totally not sure on that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys just had bad luck. I mean, you've had what they call 100-year floods twice in 8 years now.
That's very rare.
Now, wait a minute. I don't know if it's bad luck if you live next to a river. I think that's more poor planning than bad luck.
This will be an example of some of the rude people who call you.
Not all of us. Not all
Spike
of us.
Spike thinks
Kendra.
If you live next to a river, that's your own tough luck.
That's right. It's your choice.
It is your choice. I mean, they talk about people asking about the flood wall. Is it how many times a year do you get that question? It's like, to find directions to the Chamber of Commerce, press 1. For hours of operation, press 2. To find out why we haven't built a damn flood wall in 70 years, press 3.
You get that question once every 8 years.
Sure.
You don't get it when it's
I bet you get it a lot.
Exactly. Hmm.
Do you think that this will do it? You think they'll have the flood wall now?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Really? Why not?
Because they plan the community around the river. It is a river town.
Oh, I've heard this. And so the idea is the flood wall will destroy the view.
It isolates the river from the town,
right.
Which I guess is what it's supposed to do.
Couldn't you make something like you could operate with a TV remote control that would go up like the antenna on My Favorite Martian's head when you need it?
Well, we could put it on a webcam and everybody could watch it. Watch the river from their computers.
Okay. So you guys are pretty much determined to live with the river.
Yes.
Now, the administration is saying there ought to be rules that say federal bailout money for floods can only happen maybe once or twice, not over and over again.
I've heard that.
Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I don't know. I really can't comment on that because I'm not well-versed enough on the funding and all of that.
Really? I mean, you're the head of the Chamber of Commerce, or not the head, but
she's
you work there.
She's the head. You know what? She's like Al Haig. She's in the war room right now. I'm in charge here.
And, well, her job is to talk about all the cool things that you can do in Davenport when it's not underwater. I mean, to promote tourism and business in Davenport. What kind of stuff is there to do when it's not underwater?
Well, we are known as a rhythm city. We have a lot of jazz music that, you know, follows the river. The Big Spiderbeck Festival is,
festival?
His name was Big Spiderbeck.
Oh, I thought it was some sort of spider thing where people bring
oh,
spiders
boy.
From all over the world.
And with that festival, we have one of the largest marathon races, too, every year, the Bix Race in July.
Oh.
And
hold on, we need some music for this tour guide of Davenport, Iowa. And now listen while we hear a wonderful description of Davenport.
From Kendra.
From Kendra. Go ahead, Kendra.
And we just We have riverboat gambling that has come in here. That's brought in a lot of tourists. Mm-hmm. And so it also brings in a lot of acts as far as music and comedians and things like that. So there's, you know, nightlife things that are happening.
You know, the one thing not affected by the floods probably is the riverboat gambling. Makes the river bigger.
It's door to door.
Well, we only have one boat open at this time.
Oh.
You can only get into one.
Oh, the dock is flooded, isn't it?
Well, right, and the ramp going up. Because our riverboat gambling is not, they do not cruise the river. They have to stay docked.
They stay docked?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So it's a riverboat, but it can't go on the river?
Right.
Why not?
I don't know, something with the rules. Because we're between two states, the gambling commissions of the two states. I'm not positive
on
that.
Right.
Is the Field of Dreams still an attraction for Iowa?
I don't know. I think a lot of people still come out here to look at that, but I've never seen it.
And you're one of
It and Kendra won't come.
No, even if you build it.
And you're one of the quad cities. Now, that obviously must mean there's three others around you. I've never heard of any of the others.
Rock Island.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of the Rock Island Line?
Yep, the Rock Island Line. It's a mighty fine line.
Right.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Moline. There's actually a few more cities than four now that have grown. So.
But Davenport's the big one.
Yes.
And you have a great morning radio show there, too, by the way. Two guys that are good friends of ours.
Dwyer and Michael?
Yes.
Listen to them every day. And I used to listen to Spike when I used to live out in Seattle.
You lived in Seattle?
Yeah. Well, I lived in Renton.
Aww.
I live in Renton.
That's sweet.
Oh, Spike, so you could have let loose on her a lot bigger.
Something told me to hold back.
All right, Kendra, well, we'll let you get back to your job.
I'm sorry Dan couldn't make it, and I had thought he called you to cancel. So.
Yeah, that's what you say.
This bus tour came up. So.
That's fine. It doesn't matter. We're probably nicer to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
You'd be all hassled and everything, and, you know. By the way, we hear that the flood is still getting worse.
Well, today it's supposed to be cresting.
Cresting is the worst,
that's
right?
That's
the worst.
The worst,
and then it'll stay that way for a few days.
Question, did they say yesterday it would be cresting?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
How high is it now? The wall's 23, 24 feet. How high is the river?
22-something.
Oh, man.
All right, well, good luck.
All right,
Bye, Kendra.
Thanks,
Bye.
Kendra.
She's nice.
Very.
Maura?
Mm-hmm.
You back?
Yeah.
That was very nice.
That was very nice. It was probably just as well. She had a few minutes.
Yeah, I could picture Dan.
The corn will be here. Those will be corn, and the cows have been fitted with water wings, so that'll be fine. And
one of the things that the mayor of Davenport said when they were criticized for not having the wall is that their residents don't complain when their tax dollars are used to clean up other emergencies in other parts of the country. So I'd add that for
so
for
he
Kendra.
Wants the money over and over, and he wants the riverfront view.
Yeah.
The mayor.
I guess so.
It's a tough spot to be in. You got to juggle. Yeah. Because you said the whole city is built around the river being the attraction in Davenport, Iowa.
Mm.
How do you justify blocking out the sun, pretty much? It's why you go to Davenport, to be on the river, to riverboat gamble.
Yeah.
You know, the River Bandit baseball team.
I think you can have a wall that rises. It'd be very expensive. If you can build a stadium with a roof that closes,
I'm with you.
Why can't you have a wall that rises?
Or if there could be a temporary structure during the flood season or something.
That'd be pretty ugly.
Yeah.
A wall that rises. What is the harsh problem with that? I mean, you know what they call those?
What?
They call those locks. Dams, locks, you know, there are places where boats go through the Panama Canal. They have a wall that rises, lets the water in, wall goes down, lets you out at a different elevation.
Right.
Just take the same technology that's used to build locks for boats, build these big walls in front of Davenport. It'd be massively expensive.
Yeah.
There's only 80,000 people there, so
that's it.
Yeah, that might not be cost-effective.
Yeah, but if you're rebuilding every couple years... You know, it's a one-time expense to build a wall, a retractable wall.
I think you just, actually, if it's that's all there are, I think you just sit around and hope for a really big flood.
Wash them off.
Well, the world's first space tourist has the approval of NASA to go up into the International Space Station. Dennis Tito paid the Russian Space Agency nearly $20 million to travel on a mission with two Russian cosmonauts. A NASA space station manager says he's going to be under some tight regulations.
He has agreed that if for any particular case he does damage equipment on the space station, that we would be reimbursed for that damage.
And he's got to fix anything he breaks.
Isn't that hilarious?
$20 million to go into space, and he's got to fix anything he breaks. He needs a security deposit. $20 million is not enough of a security deposit going to space. $20 million.
See the picture of this guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
$20 million. Give me $5 million. I'll bring enough hookers, liquor, and drugs. You'll think you're in space. And you can break anything you want. You can trash the whole space suite. Okay? We'll have a whole space wing for you at Caesar's Palace. Okay? We'll have moon girls with six breasts. $20 million.
That's a lot of money.
How long is he going up for? A couple days? And he can't touch anything? $20 million. Who's this guy's travel agent? You got so shtuck, buddy. Oh,
he's got money to burn.
He's burning it.
Now, how did Tito make his money?
I don't know.
It sounds like he inherited it, because that's the only way you spend it that way.
That's dumb money.
It does sound like dumb money.
There's a picture of him, which you've all seen it, right?
Yeah.
In the newspaper. You'll all see it, because obviously he'll be in the news for all this. He's got that Dr. Smith look, if you ask me.
He really does.
And I think he was an engineer who worked on the space program and always wanted to be an astronaut, but never quite had the right stuff.
For $20 million, I'll make any damn thing I like. dang it.
Well, I suspect once he gets up there, he has plans to take this thing to Venus.
He's going
to hijack. Where the really good hookers are.
For $20 million, man, I'd have James T. Kirk on board the wing. I'd have Picard. Yeah. I'd have everybody. We'd have a space party for weeks.
How much does it cost to launch? Isn't it like a lot of money more than that?
Oh, yeah, I would imagine it's a bunch of money. Well, I mean,
there's also another argument that says he's getting up cheap and he had to know someone to get that ticket at all.
Yeah, he was involved in the space program.
I had $20 million to burn, I'd do it.
There's no way I'd waste $20 million on a couple days in space that you can't touch anything.
And this is a make-good coupon for Tito. He was booked to go up into the Mir, and obviously the Mir is no longer there. So
he's been bumped from the Mir. That's a good day.
Right, so this is his make-good flight, basically.
But the thing's going up anyway. It's not like it's a special Tito launch, Operation Tito. This thing's going up anyway, and they're letting him sit there instead of a bag of moon rocks or something.
Well, it's like they put the deep pocket guys on the U.S. submarines to...
They do is wreck fishing boats.
it's probably part donation.
At some point, they've got to try again. He doesn't teach anything, so that's the main thing.
It's going to be a long time for another teacher wants to go up.
Right. Yeah. You've got to put an average Joe up there eventually. It's about time we tried it again.
Hey, I still have my teacher in space mug. Did you get one of those? You have one of those, too.
Yeah, I got a teacher in space mug.
Right. They were cool.
Of course, mine's in a bunch of pieces. It broke and fell. And another hard to recall.
Take this gin from me. I can't drink it anymore. Which way's the sink? I gotta pee. Looks like I'm checking into Betty Ford. Check, check, check. It's made of brown round. I can't sing, my throat is sore. Every time I eat, it won't stay down. Looks like I'm checking into Betty Ford.
Attention, please. Tonight's scheduled performance has been postponed due to a sore throat. Yeah, that's it. Please refrain from destroying any property as you make your way quietly to the nearest exit.
Check, check, check it in the belly phone. checking in the batting ball. Chairs.
Checking into Betty Ford, and of course, Guns N' Roses star Axl Rose had been there. He, by all accounts, recently looked great and performed amazingly on stage in, wasn't it Rio de Janeiro, his last concert?
I think that's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, they did a Rock in Rio, they did a concert, and he was a standout compared to some, you know, modern-day performers who kind of sucked. I think I read that Britney Spears was there, too.
Was there any photographic evidence that Axl was actually there and singing? I mean, I didn't see a picture. Is he skinny guy now?
He's back to skinny. He looks good.
Wow. See, a couple years ago, he had blossomed and bulged.
Yeah. Oh, he was, I mean, he was maybe substituting food.
For fame?
No, for drugs.
Now he's back on the drugs and looking good, sitting well.
I think so. That could be it. Hey.
Formula for success.
Whatever works. Actually, Britney Spears did perform there, too, and Mike says she had an embarrassing incident.
Yeah, she went backstage during a costume change and didn't realize her microphone was on. And for hundreds of thousands of people, she revealed backstage that she's not this sweet young thing that she appears to be.
Oh, really? Did she let the bomb fly?
Swore like a sailor.
Nice.
Was there something she wasn't happy with back there? Was she, like, fussing at somebody?
Yeah, she said the band was supposed to vamp. And, you know, to fill up the time while she was off stage, and they weren't playing anything. They were just standing around.
So she used some colorful terms to describe what she felt about the band at that time?
Exactly.
And there was no music to cover that up. All people heard was that.
Exactly.
Nice.
I have that audio. If maybe Lenny can help me bring it up for you.
You have that?
Sure.
Is it airable?
Well, for him to have it, obviously, a kid in Rio, where I'm sure the security isn't all that tight, you know. Oh, you've got a big bulge. Huh? It must be drugs. Come on through.
It's not a microphone, is it? Okay.
I'm sure that somebody taped it.
It might take a little work to bleep it. But
well, that's what I'm wondering.
Oh, man, to bleep as little as possible. I want to hear Britney speak like that.
In the context of a news story, too, I think it would be okay.
Good point. Did we learn that last week?
Actually, yeah, 60 Minutes could play the whole thing. Mike is not going for it.
You're no 60 Minutes.
I've seen 60 Minutes. I'm friends with 60 Minutes. Anyway, yeah, Britney Spears was there. He was there. Axl Rose looking fit and trim. I don't know if he doesn't have a comeback now, it won't be because he hasn't cleaned himself up. It'll be because no one likes that kind of music anymore. Yeah. Oh, the hair bands have finally cleaned themselves up. Too late.
And is Guns N' Roses, they're all supposed to someday get back together, aren't they? Like him and Slash and the whole kit and caboodle?
Well,
no?
Slash is doing his snake pit thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty popular.
He and Slash, I don't think, have ever, despite what you may read from time to time.
And
I don't think
Slash
ever
just canceled several dates from exhaustion or something like
pneumonia.
That.
Living in John Candy's old apartment.
Ouch! I don't know what it was, but he did just cancel.
Well, that would be exhausting, wouldn't it?
Bacon and smack sandwich there, Slash. Oh, man, the PLS.
Mike actually has the Britney Spears swearing audio. We have to chop it. We may be able to have it in a few minutes.
Okay.
Lenny is fast with the blade.
Just like
sort of
Slash.
Like Daryl Strawberry and Slash. Oh,
geez. Nice.
We didn't have to go there.
But it's so easy.
Anyway, also in the news today, in the drug news today, actor Robert Downey, you'll be hearing about this all day. He's in rehab again after an early morning arrest Tuesday. The star of Alley was caught in an alley buying drugs. This may be the third strike and he's out for him. There's a real good chance he'll go to prison for a good long time.
Damn.
Good actor, too.
Great actor. He's not that Ally McBeal was at all floundering, but he really put him over the top. He won a big award. The ratings went up. He's got an album that's being released today, coincidentally, that he sings on three tracks. It's like the Ally McBeal soundtrack. It's in stores everywhere, and he's singing three of those songs. He even wrote a couple of them.
That's a joke. Have you heard Robert Downey's new record? Yeah, third strike in an alley. I love it.
Yeah, his record is not looking good. Downey was scheduled to complete filming of Ali's two-part season finale this week, but both of those episodes will be rewritten to exclude him. And I can't fathom how the writers would not take this opportunity that Downey has handed them to create talk by how they rewrite it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, they'll make the most of it.
Maybe he'll be involved in a nasty accident while crossing the street, and a truck carrying a load of talcum powder will collide with another truck, and he'll get buried in talcum powder. That would be good.
I think so. Or they may just stick to the script he's already given them here. He may just be a guy who screws up and goes away.
Nah, I think it'd be more colorful, like Bob said, if he's buried in talcum powder, or he's a... He suffocates while trying to snort up a mountain during a ski trip gone bad or something, you know?
Yeah, it'd have to use the word snow in there sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
How about an avalanche?
An avalanche.
He's skiing.
There you go.
Bear an avalanche
that's
of white
easier.
Powder.
Yeah.
That's... How's the powder, Robert? Never been better.
White powder. Beautiful. Woo! And then it's the last thing he says on the show. Except you can't do that because
he's gone.
He won't
already.
Be there.
Right.
So they'll have to do it about him. Where's Robert? Oh, he just took off. He said what wonderful white powder it was, and he had to get in another run.
I'm going to go hit the powder. Yeah. Oh, no, an avalanche. He's buried in powder.
Right. So they can write that without him.
And they probably will.
You have it? Now, this is Britney Spears. Did you edit it well enough? Passed the mic family test. Okay. I'm going to pot you up, and this is Britney Spears backstage at the concert in Rio.
Don't tell me they're just, letting the audience just stand out there like that. Oh, my God. Okay. Hey, let's hurry, y'all. Seriously. This is retarded. They told me they were going to do a vamp. Thank you, baby. Oh. Oh, no. What are they doing? Let me see. Oh, my pants are too short. I grew. I thought they were going to. I know. Well, I'm just not going to just stand out there. I thought they were going to fucking vamp. Okay, thanks.
Oh, I don't think any of that is that bad.
Retarded.
Retarded, I love that. That's all? That's not that embarrassing.
Well, I think our next twisted tune is already written.
What?
Oops,
strongly supports the One China policy.
Whoops. Hey, whoops, I what?
Oops, I said again. I cussed at my band. Said oomph backstage.
Well, that was nothing. That was actually, I was kind of turned on. I thought she was kind of cute.
Yeah, but for a girl whose image is, you know...
Well, how old is she now? She's
21.
What? She's 21.
She's old enough
she's not
to use
21,
the
Lenny?
Word.
She's 19? 19, okay.
Officer, I thought she was 21. Good morning. Moments ago, we were playing some audio of Britney Spears. I thought she was actually kind of cute sounding in that audio, too. I mean, just they caught her backstage with the wireless mic. You know, our next guest... They could have never caught her backstage back then with a wireless mic.
Because there weren't any wireless mics?
There were not wireless mics.
But she was that kind of star.
She was a hot, young patootie, really, right?
Beauty queen, recording star, Broadway star. I mean, the biggest voice in entertainment.
Academy Award winner, glistening with hot sexuality, I think.
Oh, completely.
Is she listening, by the way? Oh, good.
I still watch the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, Carousel, Oklahoma, and Shirley Jones. It's wonderful that she was captured on tape at that point in her career for me to enjoy now.
We are talking, folks, about Shirley Jones.
Mrs. Partridge.
You may know her as Mrs. Partridge, but when Shirley Jones was 17, she borrowed $160 from her dad to travel to New York and seek out a Broadway singing career. She ran into, and I understand quite by accident, I want to ask about this story, a couple of guys, what were the names, Rodgers
and Hammerstein, something
like that. And the rest, as they say, is history. And I hope we'll be the only show this morning. She's doing a bunch of interviews. I hope we'll be the only show to introduce her with something other than Partridge Family music. Ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Jones. Listen to that little cherub, huh?
Beautiful.
I will come as you.
Rodgers and Hammerstein just sat there and went, okay.
Dollar signs in their eyes.
Right. Ka-ching! Can we sweat her to a long-term? Well, let's find out the story, because she's on the phone right now. Shirley Jones, welcome to the show.
Good morning. That was refreshing to hear.
Was it?
I usually hear...
Let me guess how most morning zoos begin their interview with Shirley Jones. Would it go something like this? Let's see if it does. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Partridge.
Exactly.
What a bunch of uncouth rummies to throw that in your face.
Well, that was nice. You guys are wonderful. You know me from the movies and your babies, I'm sure.
We are, but you were. I mean, you know what? My dad was drooling over you.
Really?
Oh.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, and so was I, man.
Yeah, I was too a little bit. I didn't thoroughly understand it yet. It's just weird, strange dreams in the middle of the night, but who knows? So how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm doing this tour, 12-city tour for American Movie Classics, and it's called Fashion and Film on Tour. And you'll see some beautiful gowns, dresses that were worn by famous actresses in movies, the actual film clips as well. But we have models modeling the clothes, and I'm talking about the fashions and the great movies and the stories behind them. And it's quite a lovely show.
Now, fashion has always been important in making a female star stand out from, let's face it, the ordinary folk, even though we're all, you know, we all eat, breathe, and drink, and do all the things that human beings do. We were just talking a few minutes ago about Britney Spears.
Yes.
And fashion is hugely important to her, Christina Aguilera, you know, the hot young female divas and the it girls of today. What do you think of the kinds of fashions they're wearing?
Well, a lot of the stuff, it doesn't thrill me much, although yeah. I think Britney Spears dresses very well.
Did we see your navel a lot at like 19,
no,
20, 22?
No, you really no. didn't. No, no.
It was a shame, but you know what? It gave us something to dream about.
No, it's true. We didn't bare our bellies in my day, you know, still don't. Thank God for that.
Well, yay, you know, there's a magazine for everybody, Shirley. If you wanted to do it, someone would give you a few bucks.
But I love the little off-the-shoulder numbers you wore in Carousel, you know.
Oh, yeah,
the...
we wore strapless things, you know, and we showed our boobs quite a bit. But
you did? Now, did you show yours?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How old were you?
Maybe not in the movies, but right. I did, you know, otherwise.
Well, we all do eventually. But no, but I mean magazines and stuff?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I wore, you know, low-cut things.
Something else to search for online after the interview is over.
Well, you're talking showed a little cleavage. You're not talking full-on.
That's exactly right. It wasn't. It was cleavage. You're right.
No, but it's better that way.
I think so.
Yes.
It needs more of the imagination.
You bet. Now, Shirley, you're traveling across the country. Are you? this will be a typical question. Are you on a bus?
Well, believe it or not, we do have a Winnebago that travels.
Okay.
And the models travel in the Winnebago. All my clothes travel in the Winnebago, but I travel on an airplane. So
okay, so you meet the bus.
I meet the bus in the city. That's right. Mm-hmm. And this started back in Boston on March 25th. And now we're Las Vegas. Then we head back east to Omaha, and Detroit's the last city.
By the way, last time in Vegas, I almost went, and I didn't. But I have to ask you, have you seen David's Vegas production?
Oh, sure.
You have been to the show several times?
Yeah, he's not there anymore, you know.
When did that end?
He ended, I would say about 6 months ago now.
Okay.
He's out on tour. He's singing for all the Harris hotels across the country doing his show.
Doing the hotels.
He signed a contract with them.
Now, this is probably none of my business, but, you know, that doesn't stop me. He must make a ton of money doing this.
Yes, he does.
You must be a proud mom.
Well, stepmom, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a stepson. But,
well, I think, you know, Danny Bonaducci's your son, too, and I'm sure you're not proud of him. But...
I'm very proud of Danny.
Oh, yeah.
I think Danny's fantastic.
I think of them all as your children still. I'm sorry.
I know. I guess I do, too.
Well, if you're a stepmom in real life and if you're a real mom in TV, I think that adds up to two halves.
Yeah.
That makes a whole.
Absolutely. And
by the way, do you?
Of my own, too.
Danny Bonaducci, for those that don't know, is thought of as somewhat of a shock jock. He does kind of an outrageous radio show.
Right.
Have you been on with him?
Many times.
Okay.
Many times.
So you guys are friendly and stuff.
Yeah, we are. I'm crazy about him, and he vice versa, I think.
Yeah.
He's a great guy and very bright, and you know, thank heaven, you know, he's cleaned up his act and he's doing very well now.
Right. And thank goodness he found radio, a place that doesn't care about your past.
Exactly. I think he wants to be in television, though. I think that's his next aim. So.
I saw him on The Tonight Show a little while ago. He does still seem to want to get in there a lot.
Yeah. He wants to do a television series, yeah.
Does Sean still... I know Sean and Dave were performing together for a while. What is Sean doing?
What is Sean... Sean's an executive producer writer at USA Pictures. He's written three major television shows that have been on. He's got two new pilots this season, and he's doing very, very well.
Shirley, when you're at home, you know, obviously you're on this little tour right now, big tour, but when you're home, just relaxing, what's a typical day for you? What are your pastimes? That's maybe something that would surprise us.
Oh, well, you know, I have a house in the mountains, San Bernardino Mountains, and when I can, that's where I am. I have 14 acres there, and in the winter I play in the snow, in the summer I hike, and as my husband says, I sit there and vegetate and talk to a coyote.
When you're not putting out brush fires.
Right.
Well, that can't happen, can it?
Well, we don't have many. Thank heaven we don't have many up there, you know. I mean, they watch it pretty well, you know.
I read the story in your bio about Rodgers and Hammerstein, and it says that if you could tell a little bit about the story, it says that you were a young girl. Doesn't say how old.
18, out of high school.
Oh. 18.
I was actually on my way to college. Yeah.
And you went for an audition.
Yeah, I was actually there on a summer vacation with my parents in July, and I was going to college in September, and. I knew a pianist there, and I called the pianist, and we started singing, and he had me sing for an agent, and the agent said, listen, Rodgers and Hammerstein are having open auditions to just replace chorus people, because they had, they had three or four shows running on Broadway at the time.
Now, open audition, that's sort of...
Anybody could go and sing.
It's like cattle call.
That's exactly right, anybody, and it was for their casting director, and they would have these auditions probably once every couple weeks, at least. And so anybody could go. And I just happened to be there when they were having one. So I went and sang to the casting director, and he called in Richard Rodgers, who just happened to be across the street rehearsing his orchestra for Oklahoma, which was going to open at City Center and then go on tour. And he called him over to hear me personally, and Richard Rodgers asked me to wait 20 minutes. He was calling Oscar Hammerstein at home.
Let me go get Hammerstein. He couldn't make a decision without the other.
That's right. And he arrived, and I couldn't. My pianist couldn't wait because it was a holiday. And so Hammerstein said, "Well, you can come across the street and sing with the full orchestra."
Now,
and that's what I did.
Now you're very talented. Obviously, you've had a whole lifetime and a career of demonstrating that. But do you ever wonder how things might have gone differently? Do you feel incredibly lucky?
Oh, incredibly lucky. You know, that at the time, I was so naive, I didn't realize what was happening to me. I thought it happened to everybody. Oh. But, as I look back on it, I realize that this was an unbelievable moment. I mean, this was one of those serendipitous kinds of things that happens to people not too often.
You could still be in Pittsburgh making beer, maybe.
That's exactly right.
Ooh.
Still there. Unfortunately, guys, I have to say goodbye because I'm in a car and we're landing someplace here.
All right. Hey, Shirley, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again sometime. We'd love to have you on.
I would love. You guys are great. Thank you. Oh, love, love.